I'm being climate.
Wow. This is very different from New York, where I'm from. A few months ago, a friend of mine asked the Left Forum, which is an annual conference held in New York, the successor to the Socialist Scholars Conference, if we could have a panel at the Left Forum discussing this book, and it was the panel was turned down on the ground that it's too abstract, and there was nothing else on the program that it complemented, nothing else like that. Although there was a panel on interpretations of Marx's Capital, or interpretations of Marx's Economics. So I'm very glad to see a very different reception here, and through the work of Alan and the speakers of Michael and then Dave, the chair, and Martin and Chris, I'm very happy to see you know, some real discussion going on. I'm pleased with the generally favorable comments. There's a number of people have said you should read the book. I don't care whether you buy it or not. You can get it from the library or whatever. But it's, you know, 18 pounds in value terms, but it's only 12 pounds in price terms.
But it's a temporary price,
value.
It lasts for this meeting.
I sometimes like to compare Karl Marx to Reuben Hurricane Carter. Bob Dylan sang about the hurricane this way. He's a man that the authorities came to blame for something that he'd never done. But it won't be over till they clear his name. And that's what I'm trying to do with this book, and I think that's the position and perspective that the number of the speakers have come out with. And I can't do it alone. One book cannot do this. There have been people laboring at this task for decade after decade. I've been doing it for 20 years, and I am, you know, really persistent. I'm a youngster compared to a lot of this. You know, we just learned about this Robin Murray thing. Maybe at the end of last year, after I completed the book, the roots of this have been emerging. The interpretation has just been discovered and rediscovered by a number of people. But what happens is you meet an obstacle. And then you say, well, maybe I'm the wrong one. You know, maybe I didn't get it right. Or you say, well, gee, these people don't understand. You know, like, I know I'm right, but I can't waste the rest of my life doing this. Well, it takes somebody really obstinate and pig-headed and unwilling to listen to work at this the rest of your life. You know, when people don't understand, there's not many of us, but we've reached a certain stage, I think. But it really is up to the folks here. Okay, the record, you know, on the question of inconsistency and Marx, it really does need to be set straight, or you just won't have the empirical analysis. You just won't have the ability to interpret the world, you know, in Marxist terms. You won't have the ability to return to Marx. So I have done, you know, what I can do. And the rest of my life I'll continue to do the little that I can do. But it is up to the readers of the book, it is up to y'all, as we say back home, it's up to y'all to set the record straight. And so I want to thank in particular Michael Roberts, who has written a dynamite review of Reclaiming Marx's Capital that will appear in the journal Socialism and Democracy. I want to thank Joseph Chunara, who wrote a review that was just published last week in the International Socialism Journal with the title, if I'm not mistaken, Marx's Transformation Made Easy. The International Socialism Journal is on the table in the corner there. And, I mean, Chris sort of had the same kind of theme part of in his comments. You know, people get befuddled, and I go through the arguments kind of simply. I did the best that I could. It is, you know, very difficult. You still will not find it an easy book. There's no way of making it an easy book. Michael points out, you know, if you don't have a background, you will find it a difficult book, largely because there are a lot of arguments that are complicated. They're complex You know, you need one piece. It's not just, you could say, oh, well, it's all a matter of essence and appearance. And if you understood the distinction between essence and appearance, it would all go away. No, there's a lot of technical arguments that have been thrown up against, you know, by critics and so forth. There's a lot of things that go through, and in a certain sense, this is kind of like an encyclopedia of, you know, this argument and this response. So to make this stuff easy is, if it's possible, it's not possible by somebody of mine. Talents. I didn't even aim for that. My aim has been to make it minimally intelligible to people who are not specialists. And so even if you don't have algebra, even if you don't have any background, my hope has been, and so far the buzz is that I've succeeded in producing the text where if you don't have any background in algebra, you know, if you don't have any background in like knowing what cost price is, you can still, you know, with some work, if you're willing to go patiently and carefully through the book, you can understand everything of substance. By the way, I actually agree with what you said about the rate of profit, which is that, if I understood it, there is no a priori or, you know, just ahead of time necessity that the next, let's say, trough to the rate of profit or low point is lower than the one before. On the other hand, due to certain contingent developments within capitalism today, the state intervention is such that they are not purging the system of, you know, fictitious value, and so the crises are lingering. You know, in World War II, there was a war that destroyed a hell of a lot of capital. And then there was a boom because the old values were wiped out. That boosts the rate of profit, and that allows the system to return to a higher rate of profit. But if you look at the classic case is Japan, where they're just not willing to wipe off the fictitious capital off the books, and the government of Japan, you know, plays with the banks and is the banks and is the industrial sector. And they're just not willing to purge the system of these old values. If that's what Chris was saying, I actually agree with that entirely. What I would like to do is one thing. I did thank a couple of people for the review. I want to thank Alan for organizing this, but I didn't say that already. I want to thank Anne Jacquard for everything. And I want to thank Daniel Ankerlund, who's a special guest here from Sweden. And he is translating basically the first chapter of this book and a little bit of the final chapter as part of a special issue of a new journal in Sweden called Phronesis. I didn't want to go first here. It was like, why don't you present on the book? And I just felt like it would be, you know, I could give you a, you know, boom, 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 blow-by-blow discussion of the book, and if you're new to the topic, it would just be very hard. And Dave mentioned the idea of Marx giving somebody a copy of Capital, and they said, well, it's an elephant, you know? And then it reminded me of the story of the blind man and the elephant. I mean, you know, they all describe part of the elephant. You know, one describes it and it's actually the tail, another one it's an ear, you know, another one it's the trunk and so forth. But I thought that different perspectives on the book might help you get a sense of what the book is about. So it is, however, very common. The term temporal single system interpretation comes up. It's very common for, like, I give a talk for 45 minutes, and at the end somebody says, well, what is the temporal single system interpretation? Okay, the problem is this. It is so simple, okay, and so narrow that you hear it and you don't even pay attention to it. The temporal single system interpretation, which has the effect of eliminating all of the internal inconsistencies or alleged internal inconsistencies in Marx's theory, okay, those inconsistencies have prevented us from reclaiming Marx's capital. Okay, that's the point of the whole thing. The point of the TSSI, temporal single system interpretation, is to say that it's possible to read Marx in a way that he's not internally inconsistent, and thereby to return to the book without other people's corrections, you know, and without rejecting what he said. It is possible to look at the world, you know, from the vantage point of Marx's theories and to develop, you know, empirical understandings of what's going on now in terms of Marx's theories, once the theory is not internally inconsistent. Okay? Now, what is it, what needs to be done, and what is sufficient to do to get rid of the alleged internal inconsistencies in the theory. Okay, this is what the TSSI is. It's just two things. It's seemingly so minor, okay, but once you've got these two things, all of the problems disappear. Temporal. The per unit in price, the per unit prices of inputs or values of inputs don't have to equal the per unit prices or values of outputs. So if you have an economy in which corn is produced, using seed corn to produce corn output, okay, at the beginning of the year, a bushel of corn input, seed, does not have to be worth the same as a bushel of corn output at the end. Okay, surprisingly, all of the critics of Marx, when they show that he's inconsistent and then go on to correct him, surprisingly, they all actually have a proposition somewhere that the per unit input price equals the per unit output price. If a bushel of corn at the beginning of the year is worth £3, it's worth £3 at the end of the year. Okay? That's one thing. The other thing that you need in order to eliminate the alleged inconsistencies in Marx's theory, and Chris was referring to this, is what we call a single system interpretation. And basically what this means is that there are values of commodities and there are prices of commodities, and they differ from one another. Values are not equal to prices, but there is an interrelationship, okay? So that they're not two systems, one in which values determine values and prices determine prices. Okay, but there's an interrelationship, and specifically, Marx talks about the value transfer from constant capital. Okay, and we understand this in a single system manner. So for instance, let's say that you have a computer, and part of the computer consists of a chip, a microchip. Okay, that's an input into the computer, and Marx says that the value of the constant capital that's invested in the microchip gets transferred and becomes part of the value of the computer. So the constant capital, the chip, becomes a component of the value of the output, the computer. And the single system interpretation says, well, okay, what is the amount of value that goes from the chip into the computer? Well, it depends on the price of the chip that's actually paid for the chip, not the value of the chip, which could be entirely different. Okay, so the single system interpretation says, well, you know, if it's a chip that costs the computer producer $100 to buy that chip, well, that's $100 that gets transferred. Now, the value of the chip might not be 100, it might be only 70. But since they paid 100, that's the price, 100 gets transferred. Technical point, it seems almost impossible for some people to think it could be otherwise. I don't think it could be otherwise, but okay, if you think of the value transferred in that manner, that the value transfer depends on the price of the input, and you don't force the input prices or values to equal the output prices or values, all of the internal inconsistencies in Marx collapse. They're just eliminated. Once that happens, you don't need to correct Marx. Okay, he could be right, he could be wrong, but the point is, his theories are logically consistent, and they can't be ruled out a priori on the grounds that, well, they just don't make logical sense. They do make logical sense, okay? Then it's a question of whether they're empirically right and so forth. And once you don't need to correct Marx, okay, then all of the alternative theories of a whole variety of Marxists and non-Marxists, well, you know, they're entitled to their theories, but Marx is also entitled to his. Thank you.